Today we're going to go back and discuss something we discussed on Monday. This week's parsha is the source, one of the major sources for the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. Shabbos, we know, al yetze ish, yudat, Moshe, vayaviru kol b'machne, Moshe sent a message to the Machne that the people should stop sending donations to the Mishkan because there was enough to bring. From this pasuk we learn that do not send donations to the Mikdash as a malacha of Hoitzah to take from the Rishos HaYachid to the Rishos Saramim. How do we get around the Isra of Hoitzah? I get around, but what is the possibility to carry on Shabbos? You have an Erev. Right, if you construct an Erev, then you're back in business, you're able to carry on Shabbos, everything becomes one big Rishos HaYachid. Topic today is what happens if the Erev falls down on Shabbos.
The Anani HaKavod,
were they a good Erev L'chor or not? No. Yes, a very good question. The Anani HaKavod, why wasn't... Were there Anani HaKavod when they built the Mishkan? Were there Anani HaKavod? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Let's put that aside. But we know from the pasuk in the Melacha of Hitzah, so we know that through the Koyach of an Erev, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. This is a very interesting shaila and happens more often than we think. If the Erev comes down on Shabbos, what is the procedure? So should the Rabbanim make an announcement? Should the Rabbanim make an announcement and tell the people that they should stop carrying, or better be quiet? So what? So we have here in the RJJ Journal, spring 2004, fantastic article by Ezra Schwartz. Now it's a very popular name, Schwartz, but here it says he's a fellow Kollel LaHaron Yeshiva University. So I don't know which Ezra Schwartz this is, but he has a very comprehensive discussion of this topic. First thing he wants to point out is that this happens. Shiloh happens more common than you think, and especially in the mountains. People go away for Shabbos. They go to a bungalow colony, camps. I remember when I was in Mogen Avraham, it's a very big grounds, and it's a very big avoid to put up an Erev. It's a very, very big avoid for the people that were involved in putting up a kosher Erev. There's no walls, there are no natural walls, and they have to actually surround the entire campus with an Erev. It's not an easy thing to do, and things can go wrong on Shabbos, and then what are you doing dealing with hundreds of campers, even thousands? You have these big places, have these big yeshuvim, and what do you do? It's not so uncommon, and the halachas have to be known. Now, one thing he points out, a very interesting thing, is that if you have an Erev and the break is less than 18 feet, less than 10 amos, then it's a Pesach. In other words, if you have the sticks, like a bowl colony, if the sticks are not put so far apart, and you have a situation where you have two different sticks that are less than 18 feet apart, and one of the wire between two of the sticks, two of the poles breaks, if it's less than 18 feet, that's called a Pesach, that is not called a breach in the Erev. But if it's more, which typically it is, then you have a very big problem. So the first Yisod he says is, now I thought, I'm shocked what I'm reading over here, but it just goes to show how ignorant I am in these matters. We know there's a Gemara Masechta Erev that says, there's an idea that if the Erev was intact when Shabbos began, then it's good for the rest. Even if the Erev is no longer valid for the remainder of Shabbos, it's still a kosher Erev. Now, that of course only applies to what is called the Eruvei Chatzeros, which means you have everyone in the community, in addition to putting up four walls around the location, everyone must be one big happy family. And the way we're one big happy family is by having what's called Eruvei Chatzeros or Shitufei Mevos, because everyone can come and eat. Everyone is considered to be living in the home where the bread is located, so everyone is a member of that family. So it's everyone is in one the whole community is one big family. But what happens if the bread disappears? If the bread is destroyed? If it's burnt? If it rodents take it away? So then, if it no longer is, you can no longer say you're all part of one big family, it all disappeared. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. As long as the bread of the Eruv is in play when Shabbos begins, even if it disappears the very first moment of Shabbos, it's okay. That's part of the takan. It's only a chumrah midrabbanan, and as long as it's there, it's there. Now, I remember once someone telling me that this is also true when it comes to the Erev, the walls. That if you have an Erev, and then when a Shabbos began, the Erev was up, and then someone came along maliciously, or a storm, and the Erev was taken down, and now there's no Erev altogether, it's good! Because there were walls up, there were walls that were erected when Shabbos began, it was a Rishus HaYochan when Shabbos began, just because the walls fell down on Shabbos, the Gemara says that the Erev is up. So you look at the person, you're from Mars, this is total nonsense. How an Erev is walls, you have to have four walls. If the walls are not here, it's no longer Rishus HaYochan, you can't carry. It's a Dover Pashat Ad Me'oy that this Gemara is discussing the Eruvei Chatzeros, the bread, which is an additional layer of Chumrah. And indeed, Tosfos in Masechet Erev in Daf Yud Zayin explicitly says that don't make any crazy assumptions. This clearly refers to the bread of the Eruvei Chatzeros. We're not discussing the walls. If the walls come down, you can no longer carry. However, the shocking thing he presents here in this article, that of Shloimo Kluger, none other than the great, Elef Lecha Shloimo, the great, one of the greatest minds of the time, Rav Shloimo Kluger writes that no, Tais is not the only opinion. There is a minority opinion, it's a shocking thing, and he has a few tshuvas, and it's a very big mystery to all of the people that have read these rules of Shloimo, that it's not the only opinion. There is such an opinion, and there's something to it. There's actually something to this principle that if the walls of the Eruv were up when Shabbos began, and they came down on Shabbos, there is such an approach, a legitimate approach in Halacha to say that you can still carry the remainder of Shabbos. Now this, of course, he himself rejects it, and every single Pesach in the world rejects this, and it's not la halacha, but it's a fascinating thing that there is such an approach, and it has to be understood what could the possibility be and what this means. He then goes on to say something very, very interesting, which is really the side topic, but it relates very interesting to this idea, that why don't we pasken halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erif? We have a general rule, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'ovel, by Avelus, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erif. So if that's the case, since there is... I'm not sure why these two things come together, but why don't we follow the idea of halacha kedivrei hamekel, and rely upon the opinion of Shlomo Kluger. So he says this is very interesting. He says Rav Herschel Schechter. He says over the name of Rav Simcha Sheps from Tar Vidas. I remember him. When I was there, he was still there. Rav Simcha Sheps.
He was a kid.
I remember him. So he says that he cited this principle. No.
That was a
Sheps. Maybe it's a child, grandchild.
He didn't put his name on it, though.
Rav Simcha Sheps, he was a Rosh Hashiva in Tar Vidas.
Right. Yeah.
He was a very, very, very brilliant. He was a big Rosh Hashiva in Tar Vidas. Rav Simcha Sheps. So Rav Herschel Schachter says the name of Rav Simcha Sheps is a very interesting yesod. When the Chazal have a principle, halacha kedivrei hamekel, that's when you have a difference of opinion. There's the majority opinion, and there's the minority opinion. Under normal circumstances, achrei rabim lahatois. When it comes to Erevin, when it comes to Avelus, then we have an exception to the rule. We don't follow the Rab, we follow the Mekel. But the Mekel is a real opinion. But when the majority rejects the minority opinion, in other words, it's not an opinion. There's something called following the majority opinion, and there's something called rejecting the minority opinion. Mm-hmm. If you have an Abezdin, a member of the Abezdin that says a svar, and all the other members of the Abezdin, they say, what you've just said is total nonsense. Total outrageous nonsense, where they pick the guy up and they throw him out of the Abezdin. And then they paskin based upon their opinion. You have 69 people, they paskin. That, you don't say, holchem acharei hamekel. You only go acharei hamekel is when the people say, I hear, I understand where you're coming from, you're making a legitimate point, there's a lot of reason behind, But we disagree. We respectfully disagree with your opinion. Then halacha comes in and says, too bad, halacha kedivrei hamekel. If the majority can come around to acknowledging that the point that has been made is a valid, respectful point, then we follow. But when the majority look at the minority opinion as something which is totally off the chart, totally outrageous, and is rejected, then you do not say halacha kedivrei hamekel. So if Herschel Shechter says, Rav Shlomo Kluger, he presents this idea, but with all respect to the Goin Adir, Rav Shlomo Kluger, this idea that if the Erev was is in play when Shabbos began and then came down has been completely rejected by the Gedolei HaPoskim. There's nothing to talk about. Tosafot explicitly says that it's dealing with the bread, and there's no svar in the world that we can understand in our minds why you should be allowed to continue carrying on Shabbos when the walls fell down. Maybe there's a svar to say when it's only a Shusaram Derabon, it's not a Deraisa. A Deraisa, certainly it's very too hard, too far-fetched. You want to feel a Chiddush that the walls are defined when Shabbos begins. It's already called a Rishus HaYochid. It's a very, very difficult svara, and if Herschel Shechter says here you don't apply the principle of halacha kedivrei hamekel. And that's, by the way, in addition to another principle that you only say halacha kedivrei hamekel when you machlokes between tanoim and amoraim. If you have a machlokes between Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn and in the art scroll and Rav Kiviat in his Lama Test Malachas, you're not going to say the rule halacha kedivrei hamekel. People get maybe get all worked up. You have the art school version of Avelis, and you have the Maurice Lamb's version of Avelis, and you'll find this machlokes between two poskim, two different opinions. Halacha, you don't say that. Halacha kedivrei hamekel goes back to Tanoim and Amoraim, and therefore, since this is a matter which is not from the Amoraim, this is from the Rishonim. This deals with the Tosfos Pshat the Gemara. So then you don't apply the principle halacha kedivrei hamekel. Okay, so that's the first thing. The first thing over here is air falls down. We should be aware that there's a Gemara that says that the air was in the play when Shabbos began. It's good for the rest of Shabbos. There's a Shlomo Kluger that entertains the possibility that this may indeed apply to the case of an heir of the walls of the heir with the Mechitzos, the Tzuras HaPesach. It's completely rejected by all of the Poskim, and basically if the wall comes down, you no longer are allowed to carry, and that Gemara refers to the bread. So what is one to do? So the first approach is say nothing. Don't make any announcements, because there's a principle of halacha called mutav sheyushoygin va'al yehu mezidin. Now, where is halacha taught? This halacha, the halacha source, is a source in regard to women who would eat erev Yom Kippur until the very last minute. They would eat to the very last minute, and many times their eating would continue to when Yom Kippur already has begun. So the question is, you have to warn them, they have to stop eating a few minutes before sunset. So there the Gemara says, I think it's the Gemara, don't tell them not to eat, they're not going to listen to you, they're not going to believe you. When it comes to eating, it's something which people get very scared. Mutav sheyushoygin ve'al yehu mezidin, better not say anything and let them do what they're doing, because if you're going to tell them, they're not going to listen, and they're going to violate the mezid. Okay, so if you have an Erev in a community, and the Erev comes down, if you make an announcement, it's going to be inevitably in a big community, there are going to be people that say, sorry buddy, I don't care, I don't hear what you just said. I have my child here with me in the stroller, I have food, I have keys, I have this, I have that. I'm just going to make believe I didn't hear what you said. I'll consider this to be just like when they make an announcement, they should not talk during davening, I don't listen, so this also, I don't listen, and it's too bad for the Rabbanim that can't get their act together and put up an Erev that's made out of steel and don't have get me into these problems. It's inevitable that's going to happen. There are going to be people like that in the community that are going to be mezidin, and we have a rule, we have to extrapolate from the Gemara when it comes to Noshim, eating on Yom Kippur, the Gemara, it's a Daraisa, and there the Gemara says applies that rule, so when it comes to Erev, say the same exact thing, don't tell them. Problem over here, here's the problem. The problem is, but there are definitely going to be people in the community that are going to listen. There are definitely going to be Yirei Shemayim, and they're going to abide by the word of the Rabbanon that the Erev is down, and they're going to stop. They're not going to carry, even it will cause them the great expense. So the question is, who do you?
There are people who will say, in anger, how come you didn't tell me it was down? difference.
In other words, why didn't you tell me?
Later on, when they find out, right. I was Mechal Shabbos. Okay. So he presents here an amazing, a fascinating machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach.
FJJ is that.
Okay, we have a fascinating machlokes apaiskim. What's the situation? The case of the Gemara is only when you're dealing with a person, with one person or one very group, where you know for sure they're not going to listen. You know for sure they're not going to listen, so therefore don't say because mutav shagin. But here you're dealing with a community. And in a community, there are some people that will listen, and there are some people that will not listen. Maybe it's only a minority, maybe only one or two people are not going to listen. And maybe 90% of the people will listen. Which one has kedima? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, the ikar are the people that will not listen. They override the people that will listen. Amazing concept. That since there might be a couple of people out there that are not going to listen, it's more important that they should not be Mechale Shabbos B'nezid than all of the Tzadikim, the Hasidim, the Anshe Maila, that are now going to be Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigeg. Now, yeah, those are very harsh words, which I'm going to come back to in a few moments. But he basically says, since the Gemara introduced this principle carries a lot of weight. Don't make any announcement to the Tzibur, even though you're causing harm by not making to good people. There are good people out there that are now going to be Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigeg. Too bad for them. You have to be concerned with the few people who are going to be mezidim. That's a Talmudic principle which carries weight, and that is what has to be done. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the ikar are the people that are going to listen. If there are going to be people in the community that will definitely listen to the Rabbanan, the Natakari, they have Kedima. You're not mechuyev to be concerned about the few people that are not going to be mezidim. This principle of the Gemara is only when you're only dealing with people that are not going to listen. You're dealing with three people, they're not going to listen, so don't tell it to them. Don't make them into mezidim. But if you're going to have four people, and one's going to listen, and two are not going to go listen, so then you tell and make the announcement for the benefit of the one person, then two benefit for the other people. So what really is the ideal thing to do? The ideal thing to do is not to make a public announcement, but to spread the announcement by word of mouth. Because you make a public announcement in shul after davening is over, or let's say middle of laning, breaking news. More important than who won the election. The Erev is down. It broke. Then you're going to cause Chil Shabbos. So you know what you do? He basically says a very smart, clever solution. He says when you get the Aliyah, you tell the people who it's Nogea. The rabbi, it's a very brilliant concept. The rabbi, he looks around. He knows his customers. You know your customers. So, the Talmidei Chacham, the Yirei Shemayim, you tell them, I have bad news, the Erev is down. The people, on a need-to-know basis, if it's possible to do that. And that, to some degree, you are, to some degree, being Mekayim, you're being Yoitzeh, Bozer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Don't make a public announcement. Start spreading some rumors. It could be, Rabbi Isai, it could very well be that the air is no longer functional. Yeah?
What do you do with somebody in a bad situation, such as parents come to our kids to shul?
Yeah.
The kids in shul with the rabbi.
They can't get home now.
So, Enochanami, if you deal, Rav Moshe says, so first of all, there's not necessarily no solution. There are solutions. You get a guy if it's possible. If it's possible, right. Every situation, you can't generalize. But let's say you can get a guy to take them home. Take home the children. Or you can bring the food to the here. Every situation is different. You're right. But there are people, like you said, there are people who are in a madrega, even though they have 12 children, they have nothing to eat. If they're going to find out later on that you didn't tell them, they're going to be very upset.
They didn't use the air in the beginning. They didn't use it.
They didn't use, okay. You can't answer. It's a very general question. Every situation is different.
Right.
It's just fascinating to take be aware that there's a major machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach with regard to making a catch-all announcement where you're going to have two groups. The Gemara gives legitimacy to this principle of mutav shishoygev yalyu mezidin, but the Gemara's case is limited to a defined set of people where it's going to be one or the other. When you're dealing with a group and you're going to have two different categories, where do you draw the line? This is the machlekes, and something person that seichel. Basically, the solution is on a need to know basis, and the people that you are choshed are not going to abide by the announcement, so they never knew about it. So good for them. Let them leave shul early. They don't know about it, so they're shaying them. You're not their fault.
That's why the people who support the Moshe will go around and tell you. They see you carrying a flag because the Arab is not.
But that's not the reason. That's not the reason. The reason is because they want to have a good fight. They want Inuk Shabbos. They want to fight with someone.
They have to have a letter in the FKJ.
Okay, let's go to another approach. Another approach is better don't tell anyone for one simple reason. They are not doing anything wrong. It's called misasik. There's a principle in halacha that if you don't even know what you're doing, you're not. You're not mechallel Shabbos. Now, this is a very, very complicated topic, and there's a chiddush from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that there's a difference between the misasek on Shabbos and misasek during any other aveira. Any other aveira when a person doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't know that he's eating that kosher meat. I'm eating that kosher meat. I have no idea. I thought I was just swallowing something. I put something in my mouth and I swallowed. I didn't realize that what I swallowed was non-kosher meat. I had no. If I have come on it to eat, I want to eat. I just didn't know that this is not kosher. Then I've done an aveira because I wanted to eat. I just did not pay attention. I did not pay attention if the food was kosher or not. But I didn't even have kavanah to eat. I just swallowed. I thought I was swallowing saliva. It happened to be there was some non-kosher fluid in my mouth which I swallowed. So there, Rabbi Akiva Eger says you have done an aveira. You have done and are there, but you bear no responsibility. You should do tshuva, but there's no consequence for doing the aveira. When it comes to Shabbos, if you don't even know you're doing something wrong, it's not even considered, it's a low madrega, you're not even considered you mechal Shabbos. Because by Shabbos, there's a pasuk of meleches machsheves. Has to be with kavan, you know what you're doing. If you don't know that the Erev is down, you have no clue that you're carrying on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah, you're not doing anything wrong. So even for the tzaddikim, the kedoshim, the tohoidim, the kizera harakia, if they don't know that the Erev is down and they continue carrying on Shabbos, they are doing absolutely nothing wrong. It's not that like the Gemara, like Rav Shlomo Kluger, that the Erev is still in effect. No. The Erev is not in effect. The Erev is down. But being that these people are in a frame of mind where they don't know it, they're not doing anything. That's called misasek. Therefore, many Paiskim say the proper thing is don't tell anyone because indeed you are in the category of misasek. Now the problem with this approach is not everyone agrees that misasek is you're actually doing nothing wrong.
You can combine that with
what? Rabbeinu
Tam. If the Erev is on, Rabbeinu Tam that we mentioned at the beginning, that if the Erev falls down in the middle of Shabbos,
Rabbeinu Tam says it's not. You don't say that. I mean, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Shlomo Kluger, you mean. Shlomo Kluger, yeah. Okay, in a Hanami, maybe there's something there to combine. So not everyone agrees. Someone hold that even when it comes to Shabbos, even if you're a Misasik, you're still doing an Avera. And if you're still doing an Avera, therefore you have an obligation to tell a person not to do the Avera. Now, there is another avenue of leniency, and that is because Ruba de Ruba, I don't know if you say this in Brooklyn anymore, but traditionally, it's almost impossible to find a real Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So then it turns out that you're being a Misasek in an Issa de Rabbanon. So you're being misastic and Issa de Rabbanon, that's certainly another layer of leniency to be makel. The best thing is not to tell the people
anything.
Not to say anything. What? Right. If
not knowing.
This would require be the same question if you go to a restaurant and there's a shayla in the food that they were not there, because it was absent meruba. Are you mechuyif to tell someone who's coming in, you know?
That's a mesasek b'shar aveiros. So there, everyone agrees you have to prevent the person from doing an aveiros. Yes, that you do have to do. You have to warn the person. But when it comes to Shabbos...
You were matrib, but your person was matrib.
Okay, when it comes to Shabbos, the standards are more relaxed according to some opinions. It's a Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's a Rav Kol that talks about this at length, and there are other poskim, and here you have the additional factor that we're dealing here with an Issa d'Rabbanan, in some situations, so maybe a Misasik d'Rabbanan is not as severe, especially in the bungalow colony. If you're in a camp, a bungalow colony, and the Erev comes down, so that's not a Rosh Hashanah d'Araisa, that's only Rosh Hashanah d'Rabbanan, so then there, they're being Misasik and an Issa d'Rabbanan. A Misasik is d'Rabbanan, you want to combine the fact that people are not going to listen, so then there's certainly grounds. The best thing is not to make a public announcement because the good people are not doing anything wrong anyway because it's a misasek midrabanan and the people are not going to listen, so you to them you apply mutav shishoygin yal yihu meizidin. Now here's another very interesting shayla. This is not common, it's not going to happen over here in Brooklyn, but let's say you're out of town or you're in a small area and the Erev comes down, are you allowed to fix the Erev on Shabbos? Yeah. Okay, you have a simple case. You see, you're walking and you see over here that the Erev. So you get a ladder. Ladder's not muksah. You get a ladder. And so you'll save everyone. You'll go and you'll take the string. The string broke. And you'll take the string and you'll go and you'll put it back up. Now, if you can do a malacha deraisa of kashira, you're going to make a double knot. You can't do that. That's a malacha deraisa of kashira. But I'll make, like, I tie my shoes. You'll be careful to take string. Or you'll find string, right? You'll find some string, you won't cut it, and you'll just wrap it around one nail. You'll wrap it around, you'll make it, and you'll go and you'll unwind it, and you'll go to the other, and you'll get up on a chair and a ladder, and you'll tie it to the other, you'll just wrap it around, and you won't do mamish a maisa kashira, derabot, you'll save everyone. Shalom al Yisrael. So is this permitted or not? So here's a very interesting halachic discussion. Is that called boiner? Is a halachic mechitza equivalent to a real mechitza? If you go and you build a wall, you bang in a nail, and you put up bricks, you put up a wall that's 10 mechitzas, that's boina deraisa. If you move around on Shabbos, a mechitza, on Shabbos and Shul, the curtain, right, the curtain, you just move the curtain back and forth. Or you take the mechitzas for the women, the men and the women, you're on wheels. That's not boina. So here, I'm not doing a real ma'aseh binyan, I am creating a halachic mechitza. Is the creation of a halachic mechitza a violation of the malacha derais of boine? Or do we say halacha and the physical world operate in two different planes? Building a real wall is what you need to do to mechal Shabbos derais of boine. But putting up a halachic mechitza is not an issa derais of boine. And since over here it's for the greater good to save, it's not even doing anything wrong, and you're saving everyone from Chol Shabbos, from Misasek and from the full people, that would not be a bad idea. So this is a machloikis ha-poiskin. If you have a situation where you're able to fix the Erev on Shabbos by doing not a kshira, but just wrapping anything around the nail, should it be done? Is it called boina halacha l'maisa? Most poiskin say it should not. We're machmir l'chumra, and we hold that a halachic mechitza is an issa derais of boina as well.
Halacha. Someone wants to say, I would rather do the mazik.
No, you're not allowed to do that. You want to go on Kiddush Hashem, the Mechal Shabbos, in order to save the whole city.
Anyone else carry?
No, you don't do that. You don't do an Avera. You're asking a good child. Let's say you do it amazing. Hey, you're asking a child. So this is in this. He devotes two pages to your question. If a person, he goes ahead and he's Mechal Shabbos, b'mezid, in order to save everyone else, are the other people allowed to use the Erev? Some say yes, some say not. Pashas is not. The Pashas is not. Okay, and then the rest of the article discusses that what happens, like you said, when you're actually stranded. What exactly do you do? So the best thing is to get a guy. You'll tell me a guy, I'm new, Yaakov is Osir. So in a chanam, it has to be for a mitzvah.
You can get a bunch of people to stand as a gather.
That's also a possibility, but that's a lot of work, yeah?
Let's say someone uses the area.
Yeah.
I am bringing a cake to his house on Shabbos. You do not use the area. Can you participate?
It's better not, but you can, but the evidence, yes. It's better not. It's not the proper thing to do, but if you need have a need to do it, yes, you can do it.
If you do a kiddush and you someone speaks solid, he doesn't.
You, if you need, if you have a need, if you have a real serious need, it is permitted. Halacha lemaisa, what do you do? So if it's l'shei mitzvah, yisuda Shabbos, yimenucha Shabbos, amira la'akum is mutter, the balhu iter, amira la'akum is mutter for a dvar mitzvah.
So can you eat that cake?
Yes, you can eat that cake. Yes, yes, you can eat that cake. You can. You can tell the person to bring it for you and you can eat it. Yes.
No, I brought it in mind. He did not instruct you. I on my own brought a cake to a person.
Yes, 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 you can. You can. Yes, yes, you can. Yes, yes, you can. Okay, amira la'akum. Or some say you should do amira le'amira. Okay, the other solution is the Rebbe Chiddush, the B'shas Hatchach, you can tell a child. You can tell a child to carry for you. Because B'zman Hazeh, most of the Isser is only Midrabanan, so it's a double Midrabanan. A child doing Aveir is Midrabanan, and carrying on Shabbos, most of the time, I don't know if you can say that in Brooklyn, but most of the time is only Midrabanan, so it's a double Midrabanan. If you're really stuck, you can do it, you can pass it. For many people can carry, they can pass off Pachos, Pachos, Midal Ramas. Yeah, you basically, you carry, you pass off. Shnaim Shah, Su, carrying people to carry a child. There are many leniencies. If a child is stranded, there's no Erev. You're walking, you're carrying a child, and guess what? The Erev is down. Bad news. Why are you telling me the Erev is down in the middle of the street carrying the child? Want to take revenge? So, carrying a child, there are many leniencies because a chai noiseyes atzmai. Even pushing, listen to this, pushing a stroller. Because the stroller is toffled to the child. It's not considered you're pushing the stroller. It's since the stroller is there for the child, so it's considered you're pushing the child. So b'di'evet, if there's no Erev and you're really stranded, you know there's no Erev, and there's no other way, b'di'evet, the adult is allowed to push the stroller. It's very interesting. As long as there's nothing else in the stroller. So if you have a lot of compartments, a lot of packages in the stroller, you gotta get rid of it. You gotta abandon ship. Okay, all of the bottles and all the toys, you gotta get rid of it. But you can then push the stroller. And if you can, you yourself can go pachas, pachas, midalat amas. The big problem is when you get home. How do you get home? How do you go into the house? So you got to throw it into the house. Kila achar yad. Yeah, because it's akira hanocha. Some say that you should do the akira.
Throw the kids into the house.
You throw the kids to the house. All right.